Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. The websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com. They go to most of the same things all over the place. Feel free to review the show on iTunes if you haven't done so already. Thank you so much. If you need to get a hold of me, it's Jackie at JackieCation.com. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady fixed this audio. Mike Rickberg composed the opening song, sang with his wife, Sarah Cohen. Mike will sing his words to the Mexican hat dance at the end of the program. Vilmos works on the website, JackieCation.com. On the website, JackieCation.com, there's links to this podcast and my comedy podcast with Lori Kilmartin, The Jackie and Lori Show. There are links to watch me do stand-up comedy. My calendar is on there where I'm performing. If you want to support the show, there's merch at JackieCation.com if you want a Dork Forest t-shirt, if you want a stand-up t-shirt, if you want stand-up CDs. There is also a DVD. And the CD and DVD, everything's available streaming. The DVD is streaming on ComedyFilmNerds.com. All of my CDs are available on Amazon and iTunes and Pandora and Spotify and YouTube if you just want to listen to them before you buy them. If you want to support the Dork Forest, there's a couple of different ways. You may PayPal me a donation. That's right. You could also Venmo me a donation just at my email address. You can support the show in a lot of different ways. You can get merch. You can donate directly. That button is available at JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com, and I appreciate any support that you do. There's premium episodes that you can listen to. If you've run through all of the ones that are sort of archived in Blog Talk and then the almost 500 episodes on Libsyn and iTunes right now, and you need more Dork Forest, you can go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. There's probably a dozen live episodes. There's a couple of free things as well, and there's a Storytime album, which is me telling a couple of stories. Everything's like $1 or $2 or free. Let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. You guys, I am in a hotel room. You may have seen the hotel art in Bloomington, Indiana. And I am with Ruthie Fudge, local. Now, you've done some open mics?
I have. I do it once or twice a year to convince myself that I do not belong in comedy.
So you are, but you're essentially, you listened to the show and you emailed me.
Yes.
And you're like, hey, I'm a dork. Mm-hmm. Would you like to talk to me about my dorkdom? And I said, if the schedule permits, attainable goal. And here we are in my hotel room in downtown Bloomington, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the program, Ruthie Fudge.
Thank you, Jackie.
And you are on Twitter at Velveeta under Hound. Oh, that's a dog. And at Fudgy, Fudge Ruthie. Yep. Fudge Ruthie on Instagram.
Yes.
So here is where we begin. The band Ween.
The band Ween. And I want to put a disclaimer that I am not the level of Ween fan that can tell you every word to every song. I have not been to many shows, 5 total. I don't know an extensive history. I don't have the disposable income to follow them around.
I think this disclaimer is hilarious.
Yes.
No, that's fine. It's just enthusiasm, and mm-hmm. but it's at this level is what you're
yes.
saying.
Because
this is the level that you are at.
As you know, and I know, that the internet is based on I told you so, one-uppings, and well-actuallys. So,
the Dork Forest?
Yes.
Safe space.
Thank you.
And if there's any, if there's details that we've missed, mm-hmm. People usually just email it to me, and I'm like, oh, good.
Yep.
And it's fine. Like, I don't mind when people tell me the actual thing, the things that we've missed. First of all, the first thing that happens usually after the show is I talk to Andy Ashcraft, and he's like, did you ask this question? And I think, oh, shit, that would have been a great question to ask. So, the
yes.
Ranger fans, the best. And so they... You've done your disclaimer. I completely support you mm-hmm. in knowing a little bit about something you love a lot. Because mm-hmm. I love a lot of things and know a little bit about each and every one of them.
Yes.
So let us begin. It is a band.
It is a band.
I don't know anything about this band. Are they guitar rock? What is it?
They are, in my opinion, the Bill and Ted of rock and roll in the Rufus sense, where they have brought many, many people of different age ranges together over the years. They met when they were 14 or 15.
Okay.
And they are 50 now, and they still make music together.
Okay, so they don't hate each other.
I think that,
which,
like,
is kind of amazing.
Like any band, I think that there was some struggle for a while.
Right, they might have hated each other a little bit.
And they broke up in 2012, but they got back together, and they're on a reunion tour. And I'm painfully reminded of how awesome all of the shows are from all of my fellow Instagrammers that happen to be wieners or weenheads or whatever.
What are they, called wieners?
I like to call myself a wiener.
Because it's funny.
It is funny.
And do people... Is it... Now, here's the thing. There's the Grateful Dead, and there's fish. Is the wing like those?
No.
All right. Because it's different kind of music than
that.
Okay.
They will go on and on for a while, but they are not a jam band. Let us not be confused.
Okay.
Ween is not a jam band, although we have a cross-section of Ween fandom, and fellow Weeners like to call them Wookiees, and they are overflow from a fish following.
Okay.
Because Fish covered one of Ween's songs, and the lead singer of Fish really likes Ween, but Ween has publicly said, hey, we do not like jam bands, and we are not into Fish, and we don't like Frank Zappa, which a lot of people try to compare Ween to Frank Zappa.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about Frank Zappa either. I had Moon Zappa on the show and Diva Zappa on the show, and neither of them wanted to talk about his music or him, quite honestly. It'd be like having me on a show and wanted to talk about my dad's accomplishments.
Yeah.
It'd be weird. But so they write, essentially they write songs and music, play them, and everyone likes them. And people like them who like them.
Yes, they have nine studio albums and a whole bunch of other albums.
Like live albums?
There are live albums, yes. And but the nice, tight, clean ones, I mean, they're not clean at all. The nice, tight ones are nine studio albums, but there are a number of live ones. There are people that go to their concerts and tape every single show. There is a super fan named Johnny Williams who has been over to 400.
So he does bootlegs.
Yes.
And is the band cool with the bootlegs?
I believe so.
Okay. Or they've just sort of made peace with it. One of the two things.
I think that all they care about is making music.
Right.
So
where do they live? Do you know anything?
New Hope, Pennsylvania. Gene Ween and Dean Ween. I think Gener...
Is Ween their last name?
No. Aaron Freeman.
Okay.
A nice Jewish boy.
Okay.
And I think he and his family live out in L.A., if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But I don't know anymore, because again, not that level of a Ween fan. Right.
Well, yeah, so let's go with, I should back up. Who are the members of the band Ween?
Okay. So we have Gene Ween, Aaron Freeman. Dean Ween, and that's, I want to say, Mickey Melchiondo or Melchiondo.
Okay, depends.
I say potato.
Right. He would have to be here.
Claude Coleman is the drummer.
Okay.
Dave Drevitz is the bass player, and Glenn McClelland is the keyboardist.
Okay, so there's five gentlemen who are currently in their 50s, met when they were 14.
I'm sure that the other members are at different ages, but Gener and Diener met when they were in high school. I think it was a typing class. I can't remember, but they didn't exactly like each other, but I believe they bonded over music.
And Gener, their names aren't Gene and Dean.
No.
But they call each other Gener and Diener because it's funny.
Yes.
And they went with Ween because you name a band.
Yes. And it's supposed to be a marriage of the word wuss and penis.
Which is why you would call yourself a wiener.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, 14, 15-year-old boys.
Right. It's always good writing. Always good writing at 14.
Belief, though, if I really can dork out here for a moment, is...
Please do.
If you look at the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the word ween means to imagine, to hope, to think. and they're from New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And they also imagine, I mean, they're a very imaginative group. Their right. lyrics are, they range from silly to serious, incredible songwriters, the music. They can take any genre of music and completely make it their own. So they have a country album. They have
oh, really?
A Beatlesque album. They have a couple of songs that are very, they remind me a lot of Pink Floyd. They have a couple of songs that just, if you didn't know, you would think that the song was by Prince because Jener is
a big Prince fan. Okay, so what they do, so there's 9 albums. Do you have a favorite album?
Yes, I have. It's hard because I was looking at the list of the albums and I was like, I like all of these. I can't talk about all 9 albums. And I like a couple of their live albums. I in this order, my introduction was through Pure Guava.
Which is? A band?
Guava is one of their albums.
Okay.
And the song that made them best known was Push the Little Daisies. It was on Beavis and Butthead.
Okay.
It topped the charts in Australia in the early 90s.
Okay. Push the Little Daisies?
Yes, Push the Little Daisies.
I will look that up.
Yeah, and so then I will know things. If you want to get yourself a set list or a little track list to listen to for people who haven't heard Ween, and the first time I heard the song.
All band episodes, I have this to say. Uh-huh. Please do send me a set list.
Okay.
But 8 songs.
Okay.
No more than 8. Had Murray Valeriano on, U2 fan.
Yes.
He sent me 112 songs. Ugh, Guess what happened? I wiped that stick.
That is too much of U2. Too much.
I'm so psyched that he loves U2 enough to have been able to pick his favorite 108 songs.
I don't even love Ween that much to come up with 108 songs.
Cannot care.
No.
And but 8 of any band, I can listen to that. That sounds like, you know what it is? It's just shy of a full album.
Yes, and it's your appetizer. Oh, your main course.
Make a nice arc.
Yes, it makes enough. It's just 8 is just 8 is enough.
8 is enough. Wait a minute. Dirt. Where's that dork?
Somewhere, I'm sure.
So on Guava.
Pure Guava.
Pure Guava.
Push Little Daisies. I am also not a typical Ween fan where I do not drink and do a lot of drugs.
Which is that sometimes
there is a huge there's a huge drug and drinking culture
around it.
Yes.
Does the band party pretty hard? Or they did?
Most of them do. Jener is sober. And when they broke up in 2012, it was because Jener needed to get sober.
Oh, okay. So he was a mess. And they're like,
yes.
I have to regroup
mm-hmm.
and get my life in order. And then when did the reunion tour just start last year
kind of thing? Or? I want to say it was in 2017 because I remember that they did like 3 shows on my birthday weekend in Colorado. And I couldn't go.
So he was like 5 years into trying to get his life back together. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I think I could go on the road with you guys again. Nobody buy me shots.
Right. Okay. And they keep a dry stage. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so nobody else parties during the show.
Again, I.
You aren't there. So, you aren't there. Do you see video ever?
Yes. We.
Do you ever go down a rabbit hole of other people's.
I do.
Footage?
I do, especially on Instagram. I go, oh, I wish I could be there.
Right, right.
Oh, I hate that I had 2 kids.
Right,
I don't really hate that I had 2 kids, but it's just, there goes my income.
There goes everything,
yes.
Quite honestly.
Yes.
So it's the nature of breeding.
So I got sober in 1993, but I remember driving around in Kalamazoo, turning on the college radio station and hearing Push the Little Daisies, and I was like, what? The hell is this shit? This singer sounds like they're on helium. What is this?
Really?
And I kept listening, and it was a wonderful earworm.
Okay.
And that's what started it for me. And then I got into college radio, and I got acquainted with all of their other albums.
Okay. I'm curious. You can sing it if you'd like.
No.
Okay. I was like, I wouldn't want to, but.
Although it's like, push a little daisies and make them come up. Like, it's just.
And it's squeaky, but it's got a hook.
Yes.
Is there a.
Once it's in your brain, you won't be able to get it out.
All right. Well, the thing is you would have thought that I would have listened. People often say, do you do any research about the Dork Zone? And I'm like, I do not. But then there's angles that aren't covered that I ask you about. So,
but that's what I like about the Dork Forest is I've been listening long enough to know that you don't. But what I like is that you listen the whole time.
Yeah.
You learn something new.
I do learn something
and
new.
And I learn something new. Because right. Sometimes I'll see an episode and I'll go, I don't want to learn about salsa dancing. Right. But then I'll listen and I'll be so happy that
Oh my God, that was kind of a fascinating episode, yes. Wasn't it?
Yes.
Solange Castro, if I remember correctly. She just put out a new album. There we go. There's a plug for her.
Okay.
I'm with Ruthie Fudge, by the way. It's Velveeta Underhound on Twitter and Fudge Ruthie on Instagram. So there's 5 members of the band.
Mm-hmm.
They've been together for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have 9 studio albums.
Mm-hmm.
and they tour now. So there's a drummer, there's a bass player. What do the other 3 players do? You did not say.
Well, are they all sort of Gener and Diener sing. Gene does most of the singing.
Okay.
Claude has a song that he sings on, and that's the drummer.
They play keyboards.
Glenn McClellan plays keyboards.
Is the keyboard guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Gener and Diener both play guitar.
Sort of lead guitarish kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
And man, if there's something that I will go down a rabbit hole doing is watching videos of Diener's facial expressions as he plays guitar. It's something to behold. When you see someone doing something that they truly love and they're in the zone and nothing outside of them exists, it's just like... I think he's in another world when he's playing guitar. And
really?
He has these facial expressions that are hilarious.
Because he's concentrating and
he's concentrating. He's having fun. He's practically making love to that guitar.
Right. He's just like, is it... So he's jamming on the guitar. Like, he's playing his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
The songs are, what, 3.5 minutes long, max?
Some of them are longer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they are just... He's just up there and... I don't know what's another song. Like, it's like what's another favorite song?
So on Pure Guava,
yeah.
Because that was the album that started off. There's another song on there called Pumpin' for the Man, and it's really super fast.
Okay.
And if you've ever worked in retail or fast food or at a gas station or any sort of service industry job, it's about just being like, I hate the customers, but I'm here. You know, earning
okay.
minimum wage because
yep.
what the hell am I? You know, I have to.
Right.
I'm in this position where I have to. Because as an artist, I identify you have to have like a day job because the world doesn't
right,
love
right.
artists.
Well, and you have to pay your bills.
And I like insurance.
Right. And eventually someone should. Yeah, but it's I wonder if they play it in those places. Like, is there Ween, like at the gas station?
Oh, like, no. Ween,
no?
There are very few tracks that are radio friendly.
Okay.
there are some songs that are clean, and we have a list, we meaning my spouse and I have a list where it's like Kid Ween, and the kids all know those songs, but
okay.
we don't let them listen to the other songs.
Because are they cussy, or is they just super
They are cussy.
Mm-hmm.
They are super gross. just like, I'm waiting for Netflix to come out with a line of documentaries called Everything You Love is Problematic, because Ween does do some shit that I am not real happy with, but I love the music so much more.
Sure.
That I'm...
My brother loves Woody Allen and always
Ugh.
Will.
Yeah.
But, so what's... Oh, there's drama with Ween? Ween has... They're flawed humans? What's happening?
They have songs where they make fun of fat people. They've had some tracks that music critics have reviewed and said that they're homophobic. I don't think that they are, but there was one song that was like, okay, you're probably talking about a creepy old gay guy that does... Crystal Meth.
Okay.
And then they made up for it. That was called Richard Smoker, and that's on their country album. But they have another song that made up for it that was on South Park called The Homo Rainbow.
Right.
And I love it because it's like,
It celebrates.
As a non-binary queer person, I just love I mean, that could easily be the soundtrack of my life. There are many colors in the Homo Rainbow.
The Homo Rainbow. There are many colors in the Homo Rainbow?
Yes.
That is nice.
Yes.
Yeah, they, yeah, it's interesting because there's nothing, there's, I had a Dork Forest where it was Marcella Arguello talking about Kanye.
I remember that episode. Yeah,
and she was talking about how.
Talk about problematic.
Right, right. And it was pre him going off his meds, clearly. and she was like, it is hard to be a feminist and a woman and listen to Kanye West and just kind of want to really jam out to these songs because he's saying some really stupid shit.
Yes.
And I think that might be true of so much music, just because musicians, they're usually, you know, 23-year-old drunks.
Yes.
As far as I can tell from afar.
And lots of songs about fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
Ween has lots of one of my favorite jams, and it's so misogynistic.
Yeah.
But I put the coke on my dick.
Put the coke on my dick and then and snort the coke off his dick?
Well, no.
Essentially?
Put the coke on my dick and turn to the wall.
Oh.
But it's a sen- yeah, and it's sung by the drummer. And
this is an interesting image. I wish to know. So if you put cocaine on a person, and when I say a person, mostly a dude, a dude's dick, and it is, let's say, erect, because obviously you're not putting cocaine on a flaccid penis.
It would probably be very difficult to snort.
Right, right. Then you're just like, then you're rooting around in there anyway, and you're like, oh, okay. Which might be that gentleman might enjoy that as well. But then you turn around, and then he clearly wants to either, I am 100 years old, so I will say the words doggy style,
which is,
I believe, the correct term. Mm-hmm. And then, or he wishes to, there is anal, whatever. One
Could
of those
be.
Two things are happening when someone is facing away from you and your penis is involved.
When coke is involved, I believe anything is
Could
game.
Happen. It's possible. And so then with, I mean, the thing is, it mostly means that the person, the guy with the dick and the penis and the coke, just go words, and he's not going to get the benefits of that cocaine. The person who, the cocaine's going to go into the person who's receiving the penis.
Yes.
Don't you think?
And who knows, and maybe the penis owner has already had their share of cocaine.
Well, clearly. I wonder what the lyrics are to that song.
I suggest you listen to Put the Coke on My Dick.
It's, for some reason, I wish to look up the lyrics to put the Coke on My Dick and see.
So, yes. Favorite, going back to favorite albums, Pure Guava, The Mollusk, which is like their album of sea shanty inspired songs.
Yes.
And, I love that album so much because I feel, I mean, it's most of the songs are nautical themed.
Who doesn't like a nautical theme song?
And
are they by pirates? Sometimes.
Well, there is one song, "The Blarney Stone," and I don't know if a pirate is singing that, but it's a drunken Irish person, I guess, and Diener sings on that one. It's one of the tracks that he sings. But everything that I wanted to accomplish while drinking and doing drugs for the short time that I did them.
Yes.
When I listen to that album and close my eyes, I'm like, this is what I wanted to accomplish.
Oh, right. Oh, who did I have on that was talking about short stories? I can't remember. And it was, and that's the same thing with lyrics and songs. Uh-huh. Essentially, they're a fantasy element of this is the feeling that I want.
Yes.
Whenever I do anything, whether it's, you know, like some country songs, it's your truck and you're dancing and you're at the bar and you meet a nice lady, perhaps, and you have and then you dance and then you fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And so the song that on that album was the perfect party song, essentially.
Well, there are lots of really great songs. The one that's most known, it was in a Toyota commercial and on an episode or in the SpongeBob movie.
Toyota commercial song?
There was one. It was either Subaru or Toyota, but they played Ocean Man. And Ocean Man was also on the SpongeBob movie soundtrack.
Okay.
And it's one of my children's favorite songs.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
And what year did that album newish?
No. I'm super old. The Mollusk, I think, is 97, 96, okay. 97.
Okay, so 90s. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that was, should go in the SpongeBob movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
And they had a song on an episode of SpongeBob about tying your shoes, learning how to tie your shoes.
So they're essentially like an adult version of the Wiggles, is what...
If the Wiggles...
were adults.
Were adults, and... yeah, very adult. but
enormously adult.
But like I know a lot of music critics will assign them the moniker of a novelty band or an alt rock band, and I just think that that's like a gross oversimplification.
Sure, but what would you put them as?
They are in their own category.
They're, okay.
Yeah. If I'm listening to all different categories, there should just be a category called Ween. kind of like Primus has its own category, too. I like Primus a lot.
What about, like, because what I'm thinking is, and I can't remember their name.
Dean and Jean?
No, the band.
Barnes and Barnes?
No, well, it's a different band.
They did Fish Heads.
What is that? What are all of those words? My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, this is another ad for the New Yorker. You can get 12 weeks of the New Yorker for $6, plus the exclusive tote. You go to newyorker.com/dork, and you save 50% when you enter dork at checkout. Live by a code, you guys. Get 12 weeks of the New Yorker for $6, plus the exclusive tote. That's right. I have the exclusive tote. It's very exciting. The New Yorker, of course, is the freaking New Yorker. It represents the best writing in America today. You receive 12 weeks for $6. You get home delivery of the print edition and unlimited access to newyorker.com with 10 to 15 exclusive site-only stories every day. You have the apps, the online archive, the crossword puzzle, all of it. So the New Yorker is amazing, of course, as everyone knows. Remember Ronan Farrell? There's also the theater critic for the New Yorker won the 2017 Pulitzer last year. I got to find that and read it because it's amazing. They cover everything, a full range of topics, including politics, news, international affairs, climate change, the environment, popular culture, the arts, fiction, food, humor, cartoons. You know it. You love it. The New Yorker. Get 12 weeks for $6. Use the code DORK. All right, let's get back into the show. What are those words?
Barnes and Barnes is
another band?
Billy Mumy from Lost in Space, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but they're Art and Artie Barnes.
Okay.
And they play guitars and synthesizers, and they sing a bunch of dirty-ish songs, but some of them are pretty funny, and they had Bill Paxton in a lot of their videos.
Okay.
Yeah, I could totally go down Barnes
that rabbit hole.
Yeah, but my spouse is the Barnes and Barnes head. He knows all about them.
Well, because I was thinking, because I have one album of almost every band. Weird, I don't have an album of Ween. If I were to get one album, what should I get?
Oh, I would say White Pepper.
White Pepper. Okay.
That's their Beatlesque album.
So it's kind of attainable. So it's kind of easy to, it's a good gateway.
Yes.
And it's called White Pepper?
White Pepper.
Okay.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone directed a video off of that album called Even If You Don't.
Okay.
And that is very Beatlesque. And I like that song quite a bit.
Okay. It's, Even If You Don't, because now I'm going to download Push the Little Daisies and Even If You Don't. And then I looked up the lyrics for the Coke thing. It's definitely not anal sex, but he seems very angry for someone who's about to get to have some sex. Why so mad? You're about to get some, sir. Put the Coke on my dick and turn to the wall. Your pussy is swollen and my penis is raw. Looks like sugar on a hard piece of meat. Get your big round, big ass round
so you can taste the heat.
Oh my God, put the fucking coke on the tip of my cock all night long. I'm strong as a rock. Better be good, because tonight I'm smoking. Two Tons of Man is the title I'm holding. Well, see, and I like
this. I would like to think that Claude Coleman is really like this, but I don't think he is.
Well, and the thing is that at some point, you have to know that you're being dumb. And so they have a pretty good sense of the ridiculous.
I believe that they do.
Okay.
Another album that's really popular that I like quite a few of the songs on it, but I think it's because the cover is off-putting to me, is Chocolate and Cheese, and it has like an aesthetically sexy bod of a woman who's showing some bottom boob
right.
on a shirt and has a great big ween wrestling belt on, and it's...
Oh wait, so it's like under boob and the wrestling
yes,
belt?
Yes. Okay. It's a sexy time cover, but just again, I look at it and I go, oh, just put clothes on, please.
Are these gentlemen married?
Yes, both of them are.
And have they done some breeding of their own?
Yes, they have. Yes, they have.
So as they come into their middle age here, the twilight of their years, what year was the under boob?
I think Chocolate and Cheese was in 94, 95.
Yeah, you got to give somebody some slack.
And they're in their
20s. Right, so. That's 25 years ago or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I give myself slack for 25 years ago. I still know I was a moron, but at least there's it wasn't my finest hour.
If I look at my blooper reel from 6 months ago, I'm like, what were you thinking?
Well, the journey continues, I think is what we've realized.
Yeah. Going back to the Pure Guava album.
Yeah.
So another thing that Ween has been on, the underrated, horribly underrated blockbuster hit, It's Pat, the It's Pat movie.
Oh, did you love the It's Pat movie?
Again, as a person who identifies as non-binary and kind of queer, I just love the obsession that cisgender people have with people that are gender fluid. And from the first time I saw Pat on Saturday Night Live, I was like, I so identify with just people guessing and Pat being oblivious to it all and not really caring.
Right.
And that whole movie is about one particular person's obsession with Pat's gender.
Okay.
And
well, that's fascinating.
Driving themselves crazy. But Pat meets Ween.
In the movie?
Yes, and gets to perform with Ween.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
At a concert, and they played Don't Get Too Close to My Fantasy.
Okay.
And Pat plays the tuba.
Okay.
And they're at, it's either a before show, after show, and Pat tries some mushrooms, and Pat starts to go, oh, I'm seeing different things, blah, 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 blah. And Diener says, hey, those are just mushrooms from Safeway. Or Jeaner, I can't remember who says it. It's like, those are just stuffed mushrooms from Safeway.
Right, they're just mushroom caps.
Yeah.
You're actually not having hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Right, right.
I think it was a point in my life when It's Pat came out, and Pat was, like, I've never watched Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I'll sometimes watch the clips. They'll show awesome clips on, and so I'll get to see the bits. And It's Pat felt like, I've always had some sort of trouble appreciating sort of things that are cringeworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, because I want to be able to, like, I would love to be able to sit through a scary movie too, but I get scared. Things that are cringeworthy, I cringe too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't like reality television. And, but the thing is that makes me kind of want to see It's Pat because of, you know, of, like, the acceptance of gender fluidity now.
And this was done in the 90s.
Yeah,
so
that's a million years ago.
I think that some people could look at it and go, this is offensive. But I also like taking something that someone might look at as offensive and go, I'm going to take it and turn it around and make it affirmative for me.
Take back the night, man.
Take back the Pat.
Yeah, take back the Pat. But the weird thing is that... like, if you look at what that movie did, was it validated some stuff, and it made people aware of stuff. Sort of like Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Will and Grace, as from this point of view, you're like, that does not hold up at all. That is super stereotypical and really weird. But you're like, there was nothing that was being that supportive to homosexuals. Emphasis got weird.
What? the emphasis?
yes, exactly. My syllable had some terribles. Homosexuals and but if you look at all of them, mm-hmm. the fact that anything ever gets brought up, the initial time that it's brought up, how it holds up is kind of fascinating.
Right. And Dave Foley's in that movie as Pat's partner, Chris.
Okay.
And no one knows what gender Chris is either.
Oh, right.
So I love it.
Yeah. That is fascinating.
And again, Ween is there. So.
And Ween is there. Ween is there.
And then when Pat gets invited to play with them, Pat, you know, is selfish, inherently selfish, aren't we all? And really believes that Pat is part of the band.
Right.
And but just runs screaming, "I played with a Ween. I played with a Ween." It's just, I love it so much.
That is fascinating. So I like the fact, and everyone is. Everyone's a whole person, you know? I mean, these are guys who want to talk about, you know, fucking fat chicks.
Uh-huh.
And they also...
Or feeling like a big fat fuck. And it's like, I don't know if they're saying, I'm feeling like a big fat person, which fat isn't a feeling, but... Part of me thinks that they're singing where I fucked up really bad, so I'm just feeling like a big fat fuck. But there's also one that's called I'm Fat or Hey Fat Boy that's on Pure Guava.
Well, they might have some issues with body image.
Who doesn't? I'm weirded out when someone's like, I feel great about myself. I was like, really?
Many years ago, I worked with this woman who... is still a good friend of mine, but she was always pretty good looking, mm-hmm. right? She was always and she had a good metabolism, so she was pretty thin and very fit looking. But she was also a giant hippie, and she was she played many instruments and she was a groover, and she lived on a houseboat, and she was this very hippie. I mean, she was kind of the coolest person I think I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. And at one point, and we had the same day job. We worked at a closed cap at a poster T-shirt, hippie skippy poster T-shirt shop in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. So one day we were in the break room having lunch, and she mentioned something about how she wanted to lose a little weight. And the guy who made buttons, who had just lost a bunch of weight, and he was like, "You care about your weight? You?" And I said, "What? She's a liberal, but she's not, like, she's alive. She still gets commercials. I mean, we all see magazines, and we all want to be pointy, mm-hmm. but there's just, it's almost, it. Even if you don't want to care about your body image, and you work all of your life to just be okay with yourself, there's going to be a moment when you're not. And so it's weird.
Well, white supremacy, I mean, the body image stuff. Yes, white supremacy. Let me tell you about white supremacy. No, body image is rooted in white supremacy. So the thing about white supremacy is that it's a dynamic set up for you to feel bad about yourself if you don't fit in within that world.
Oh, the way they pitch it is mm-hmm. that you're never enough, you're never enough. And it's because of other people. Mm-hmm. And if you looked like this Aryan god, then you would feel good about yourself.
Correct.
So if you hang out with the Aryan gods,
which alienates a whole bunch of people, it alienates
almost 7.5 billion. And so if there's half a billion people that are white, and there might be, who knows what the odds are? Do not email me.
Yeah.
Okay. So
so some of their stuff is sexist. Some of their stuff is fatphobic. Some of their stuff could be viewed as homophobic. I still like them.
Right. Because some of their stuff isn't, right?
Some of their stuff isn't.
What's their stuff that's super supportive?
Again, I like Homo Rainbow.
Yep.
They have a song that's on the Muppets in Space movie.
Yeah.
Keep Your Eye to the Sky. You Are Not Alone. Aww. I really like that. song. They had a song in the X-Files movie, Beacon Light.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they are, yeah. I mean, they seem like they're, like if you wanted to not like them, you could, but they don't seem particularly overtly fat phobic. And plus, the fat thing, quite honestly, has been okay to do until probably yesterday or tomorrow. And because it's sort of the last thing that you can make fun of.
Yes.
And if that's the hill you want to die on, then that's the march away.
Yep.
But I don't, yeah. So it's, but are the, so the songs are catchy enough.
Oh, yes.
So that they're, that they can be used on TV stuff.
Yes. They did incidental music for Grounded for Life.
Okay. What's Grounded for Life?
That was TV show? Donald Logue. It was like a sitcom that Donald Logue had for about 4 years.
Nice.
And, but yeah, that was something that I appreciated. They have been offered opportunities to do things and then not considered for it, and it was given away to someone else.
Sure.
So they've done very silly things with that, like Pizza Hut asked them to do a little jingle for them. And so there's this fabulous one called Where'd the Cheese Go?
Okay.
And it goes, Where'd the Cheese Go? I don't know. And it was about the stuffed crust pizza. And they ended up going in a different direction.
Right.
So they've ended up making a whole big thing out of it. And there's a clean version of it. And then on a All Requests Live album, there's one that, Where'd the motherfucking cheese go at? And I don't know. And just like they go on and on and on. It's two people talking about ordering cheese and or pizza and where are they going to get it from? And I love that. They were asked to do, I think, the Oblongs. And then they went with someone else to do the the music to the Oblongs, which I loved that show.
That was a good show.
That was a good show.
That was a cute show.
Yes.
It was, well, I mean, I like the fact that really you're a dork for something that is... that is accepted, like, they're willing to do advertising, they're willing to do TV shows and movies, but they're also doing live shows where they're like, hey, fuck off!
Yes, and 3 hours long. Their live shows are something to behold.
Do they have an opening band?
No. That's what makes them super awesome, is that... when you get what you pay for when you go to a Ween show.
Okay, it's all them.
And I really, really, the 5 shows that I've gone to, 4 of them have been Ween, and 1 of them has just been Giener on his own.
Doing a solo?
Mm-hmm, and it was really good. I just liked how long the shows were and the vibe. I don't generally like going to shows because of drunk people, which... they're kind of, to me, like zombies. 1 or 2 drunks I can handle. But like when you have a whole bar full or a whole
club.
Yes.
Like how big of venues are these guys playing? Are they doing stadiums and stuff like that?
With their reunion tour, I know that they're doing much bigger places.
Yeah.
The places that I've seen them have been here in Bloomington, and those are relatively small.
Like 1,200 seat kind of theater?
Or
kind
the
of stuff?
Vogue in Indianapolis, which is a
couple grand or
I don't know. I don't.
Well, because the there's a thing in Minneapolis, First Avenue, and that is a place like Prince used to play it a lot for small shows, but it only and there's no chairs. It's like 600 to 800 people. I love seeing a band with seating. I saw Elvis Costello a couple of years ago at a theater that only seated probably 1,500 to 1,800 people. And but we had assigned seats. It was very nice. Everyone was...
I like that kind of control.
We were the youngest people there.
I like that kind of control.
Yeah.
And again, I slowly turn into a pumpkin after 9:30 at night. Another reason why I don't really like to do shows.
Well, you know, Greg Barrett used to do a great bit, a great joke about how he wants to go to an adult. he's like, valet parking... how are the Foo Fighters? Well, they ran out of wasabi. And essentially, done by 9:30, home in time to watch whatever. Mm-hmm. He had some TV show that he mentioned. And then, but it was a great bit. It was a really good chunk about getting older and still wanting to go to concerts.
Also love Greg Barrett.
Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't? Right? Mm-hmm. That's a good egg right there. And, but the... I do like, because I was thinking about the band Ween, and so the way you've described them, I think of, are they sort of like the Flaming Lips? And the fact that the diversity where they have different albums per kinds of, because they change. I only have one Flaming Lips album, but it is, it's pink. Anyway, I don't know a lot about it. I've listened to it a lot. Can't remember the name of it.
All I can say is that if you like listen to all nine of those studio albums, you would have a completely different experience on every album. Sometimes a completely different experience from track to track.
Okay.
Again, there are a couple of songs that are very Prince-like. One is Let Me Lick Your Pussy.
And is it, now which kind of Prince?
It's that,
like
it reminds
when
me
he was
of
a symbol?
Kind of Prince, this is like Purple Rain, Little Red Corvette.
Okay.
When I listen to Let Me Lick Your Pussy, I think of definitely Let's Pretend We're Married.
Okay.
And I believe that was on Little Red Corvette. Again, okay. I am not a Prince dork at all.
Right. So, but it does vaguely remind you of Prince.
And then
so.
There's Monique the Freak, and that also kind of reminds me of little, like, older Prince, pre-Purple Rain Prince.
It feels like, to some extent, it feels like this band, like, you know how, like, the caricature is that guys learn to play guitar and they go in a band because they want to get laid?
Uh-huh.
That it successfully worked out for Ween.
Yes.
And they're like, let's sing about all the different sex we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, good for them. I'm glad that they got some.
I'm
glad they've had all the sex. I hope that there was some condoms involved and they don't all have disease. And I hope it was all, for the most part, pretty consensual. Though, when you're super drunk, everyone's just a pile of limbs at some point.
That's right.
And everybody's just sort of wandering around.
Yes. So
the 90s were nuts. Turns out every decade is nuts if you're 22 years old.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what decade you live in.
Absolutely.
You end up piled like... And if you end up partying too hard. I am only... like. Most of my partying did not end up in sex because I partied way too hard and I would end up in a hotel room just passed out.
Yes.
So, but the three times I would say that it ended up with sex, there's probably an album there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. It's this was weird enough that I could have written a song if I were a songwriter. Mm-hmm. My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, it's a new advertiser and it's Robinhood. And Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. I'm going to find out what those are when I wander around their app. An ETF, what is that? Essentially, they're striving to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. And it's not an intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time. There's no commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. You trade stocks and keep all of your profits. There's easy-to-understand charts and market data. You place a trade in four taps on your smartphone. The web platform also lets you view stock collections, like the 100 most popular, or you can filter things or curate categories like women CEOs and entertainment or social media. So learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Robinhood is giving Rangers of the Dork Forest listeners of the Dork Forest a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. So if you sign up at forest.robinhood.com, that's forest.robinhood.com. The code is obviously FOREST. You get a free stock to start out. We will get back into the show.
And so Ween is a huge part of my early recovery because I didn't drink or do drugs for very long. I've never had a legal drink. So where people associate Ween with partying, I'm like, oh, I remember where I was going when I heard this song. I remember what I was doing when I listened to this album.
Oh, right. Because you were a child.
it was a completely different experience for me.
Oh, that's wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that makes me a little bit of an anomaly, I guess.
Now, you've mentioned four albums so far.
Yes.
Give me another one.
So we have White Pepper, Pure Guava, the 12 Golden Country Greats, which is only 10 tracks long, but it's because there are two different theories on this. One is that they really did have 12 songs and they cut it back a couple, but It's because
and they kept the name.
It's because they went to Nashville and recorded and let the Nashville recording superstars make the music, and they just sang on it.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know all of their names, but these are people that have worked with Dylan and a lot of old country performers. Like, I want to think that...
Oh, yeah, I've heard this about Nashville, is that there's a giant community of sort of studio musicians mm-hmm. and writers, songwriters yes. and stuff like that. They worked with those guys?
Yes, and it was not rated very well, but I love that album.
Okay.
Because if country music sounded like that, I'd probably listen to it on a regular basis.
Well, that's kind of cool. And the name of that one is The 12 Songs of Country?
It's The 12 Golden Country Greats.
12 Golden Country Greats. Uh-huh. Okay.
And there is a track on there that I absolutely adore. It's called Piss Up a Rope.
Okay.
And it reminds me, like, if Larry the Cable Guy tried to be a country singer, what he might sing about, but yeah. It's like, my dinner's on fire while she watches TV.
Okay.
And just,
oh, so they went, yeah. What I like is that they pick the genre and then they make fun of it a little bit, but then they kind of nail it.
Yes. Totally. Piss Up a Rope definitely nails it.
They're like, we are going to do the thing and we're going to kind of make fun of it, but mm-hmm. we're going to have such a good time that we're all going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll download Piss Up a Rope. What the heck? Yep,
Piss Up a Rope.
And I like the idea of that. And then what, so did they do two country albums, or is that the country album?
That is the country album.
Okay. Because you did White Pepper country album, the Agua, or?
The Mollusk, which is like their sea shanty
right.
type album.
And then something that was Guava?
Pure Guava.
Right, that's four.
Chocolate and Cheese is the boobtacular one.
But some of the songs are nice.
Yes, there's Freedom of 76. Mm-hmm. And I recommend looking up that video. It was directed by Spike Jones.
Okay.
And it's that was their first, I think that was an album put on by Elektra. So it's a really, Freedom of 76, I can't be in Philly and not hear that song. And it reminds me of Hall and Oatesy. It's kind of soulful.
Oh, nice.
It's a lot of falsetto. I like a good falsetto. And then Voodoo Lady is on Chocolate and Cheese, and I like Voodoo Lady quite a bit.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. So there's always a couple of songs. That's all I want out of an album, quite honestly, like mm-hmm. three songs. I was like, that's a good album if you get three good songs out of it. Mm-hmm. And if there's more, it's a giant win. So, okay, so that's five albums.
Okay.
So that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Coming up with five. What's one that you have not named?
Quebec?
As in
Quebec or Quebec. You say potato, I say potato.
Right, whatever the Quebecois would want us to say.
That is a fine album, and there is a song on there called The Argus I like quite a bit. And then that album is just very dark because I think that was at the very end of Gener's alcoholism, and he was getting a divorce, so there's a lot of Pink Floyd dark shit.
Right.
And there's one that's very Pink Floyd called If You Could Save Yourself.
Okay.
And it makes me a little weepy when I hear it.
Yeah, yeah. I love that too sometimes with music where it'll just be like, I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And who doesn't want a good cry with a song?
And then La Cucaracha is an album that has a whole bunch of different things on it. But I like the song Shame Maker off that album.
Shame Maker?
Yes. Paul Gilmartin, who hosts the Mental Illness Happy Hour, I keep trying to tell him, hey, you should really listen to that song because it's just like about mental health across the board, especially if you're in a codependent relationship.
Oh,
I think it's a fabulous, fabulous song.
And what? And so that was on La Cucaracha, which is that a newer album?
I think that album's about a decade old now because that was
2008.
Yeah, that was one of the last shows I went to because I just remember my first child was very small then.
Right, right.
And
okay.
And they're 10 now. So
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so that I like the idea that have they had a new album out since 2012? Because they're on their reunion tour. They broke up in 2012.
They broke up in 2012, that's but right. I don't think they've put out something new for a long time. But when they broke up, they did their own side things, and Diener has done Dean Ween Group, great stuff. And then Aaron Freeman, or Diener, did his album that was just called Freeman. And I like that album quite a bit, too.
Well, that's
but they
cool.
haven't done anything together as Ween for a very long time.
And
they
released just, it that way. And
but they have so many songs from 84 till when they...
They got together in 84?
Yes. And it was just the two of them and a DAP machine.
Okay. and how old... Were they still in high school?
Yeah, 14 or 15 years old. Was it 84? How old would they be if... They're a few years older than I am. So I want to say between 84 and 86, whatever.
So
I'm sure a Ween nerd will email you or tweet about
sure.
this.
Well, in 1984, I would have been 19. So
now, and they're younger than you are. So, but I know that they were 14 or 15 when they met and they hated each other.
And they hated each other, but But not long after they met each other, they started the band.
Yes, because they realized that they had this common ground of music.
Yeah.
Music bringing people together.
You gotta love that. You gotta love music bringing people together. Yeah. And then 47 years later.
I know,
that's
right?
That's hilarious.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. So they live in, most of them still live in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Okay.
So but they tour all the time. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're touring right now.
Okay. Yeah, I would, I don't know that I would see them, but I would, because I don't go see a lot of music. Andy wants to go see a band called Scary Pockets. They're a cover band, and they essentially just do covers, but they funk them up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a guy who works for, not Friendster, but it's like he works for some, it's not Twitter or Facebook,
mm-hmm.
but he's one of those tech guys up in San Francisco, and he lives in San Francisco. Pardon me. He lives in San Francisco, and then he travels down to Los Angeles, and he jams. What he does is he gets together with other musicians, like studio musicians,
mm-hmm.
and they do covers, and they screw around with the arrangements until they come up with something fun, and then they put it up.
I'm fascinated.
Yeah, you would probably like it, just because they seem... You know what they seem? They seem like really nice, dorky guys who are just kind of... They aren't jamming so much. And the fact is that there's not a lot of, you know, jazz will have those solos that'll mm-hmm. just weed off and go into this world for 3 minutes. I've never enjoyed those.
No.
I like
Paul F. Tompkins has a whole bit about jazz as the kind of music that almost dares you to not like it.
And I've had a couple of jazz dorks on and they've explained it. But because I like big band music. And I like marching band music, but I don't like jazz unless there's structure and it's a jazz song. But I accidentally saw Miles Davis one time, and that was amazing. It was somebody had an extra ticket, and they were like, will you come with me? No one else will come with
and
me.
And I love that you accidentally saw.
I was like, well, let's go see him. Yeah. And then we went, and it was lovely, of course. And he's an amazing trumpet player.
I accidentally saw Charlie Pride once, and that was probably the best concert I have ever gone to in my whole life.
Now, what does Charlie Pride play?
Charlie Pride...
is an amazing... The guy's a national treasure, right? Mm-hmm. He was... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a town outside of Bloomington called Nashville, Indiana. And Nashville did burn down to the ground. They haven't rebuilt it, but it was the Little Nashville Opry, and he came there and played.
In, oh, cute.
I want to say 2002, and that's when I saw him.
And what does he play?
Put your lips a little closer to the phone.
Oh, he's a singer?
He was a country singer. He's a country singer, but he's a black country singer, so it was like a big deal.
Big deal. Yeah. There was a newer black country singer. I know a lot of people who happen to be black or country fans, and it's not it shouldn't be that big of a deal, but it is
But in the 60s and 70s
it was an even bigger deal.
You want to sing country music?
Yep.
And what an entertainer and just
and he brought it.
brought it.
That's awesome. And you how did you accidentally see Charlie Pride? Someone have an extra ticket?
I was working for an agency that helped people with disabilities, and the client that I was working with that night wanted to go, and you do whatever the client wants to do.
Oh, right. Oh,
so
okay.
I'm like, sure, we'll go see Charlie Pride. And I thought,
oh, this so it was a work event, essentially.
But I had to pay for my own ticket. So,
okay.
And I didn't know until like the day that I went to work with him that, hey, we're going to go see Charlie Pride. And
well, that's weird. If it was a work event that you had to pay for your own ticket,
it is.
You would have thought that they would have covered it
because
you had to go with them.
Nonprofits are weird.
Well, work is weird.
Work is weird.
If they can trick you into paying for stuff.
It was the best money I've ever spent on a live music show.
Because it was amazing?
It was amazing.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. It is. So now we're coming down to the hour here.
Okay.
Talk to me about Ween. What don't I know? What would you recommend for people to start with, maybe?
Well,
I mean, we've named some great songs.
I would say that The Mollusk is really a good album to start with. And there's a podcast called God Ween Evan.
Yeah.
And I would recommend going back to the very first episode of that podcast because it's about three Ween fans who try to get their curmudgeon friend to like Ween.
Yeah.
And they expose him to Ween music every week. And it's a funny, funny podcast.
Right.
But you can learn a lot about the band through listening to that journey.
Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, let us not. We don't have to spoil it because what's the name of the podcast again?
God Ween Evan.
God Ween Evan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm gonna believe that eventually that person likes it. Riley Silverman used to have a podcast where she tried to convince her co-host to like Doctor Who, I think it was. And it did not work. After like probably 100 episodes, they stopped doing it because it did not work.
I love Riley Silverman. I kind of have a crush on her.
Yeah, she's great. And she's hilarious and wonderful. I have been talking, by the way, to Ruthie Fudge. And it is at Fudge Ruthie on Instagram and at Velveeta Underhound on Twitter. Thank you so much for doing... It's over.
Yes.
Thank you so much for doing the Dork Forest.
Likewise.
All right. Oh, there you go. And you know the rules out there, you guys. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?